So there's a little girl, she's in her backyard, she's filling a hole with dirt, and her neighbor peers over the fence. Interested in what the little girl is up to, the neighbor asks politely, "What are you doing, honey?" "My goldfish died," replied the little girl without looking up, "and I just buried him." The neighbor, with a confused look on his face, said, "Well, that's an awfully big hole for a goldfish, isn't it?" The little girl patted down the last heap of earth and then replied, "Well, that's because it's inside of your cat." There you go. Hey, there's nothing like a little revenge, which is what we're talking about today. So it goes well. We're in the middle of a series called Press On, where we are discussing what to do instead of giving up. And if you are participating in the 40-day fast, prayer and fasting, we are halfway done. This is the 21-day mark. I know that disappoints you. I know some of you are saying, when this one's over, I just want to do another one. Praise the Lord, you can do that. You just go for it. For the next 2 weeks, though, we're going to be talking about what to do when you are treated unjustly or unfairly or used by another person. Today, I'm going to answer two questions. What do I do when someone slanders me? And then I'm also going to answer the question, what do I do when someone mistreats me? How am I supposed to respond to that in a godly manner? Next week, we're going to be answering the question, what do I do when someone uses me? And we're going to spend the entire message next week on that one, because this happens to everybody. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells us in John chapter 17 that it is impossible that no offenses should come. Meaning sooner or later, someone will do something or say something to you that will offend you. Someone is eventually going to treat you unjustly, whether it be in the workplace, whether it be at school, whether it be in the church. It's going to happen. And maybe you're dealing with this right now. Someone has said something or they've done something to you that has hurt you very deeply, and you're struggling to get over it and to get through it. And so you're sitting in here this morning, maybe you're watching online, and because of that, you've got these feelings of anger, resentment, and pain. And so the question becomes, how do we press through this? How do we press on and keep moving forward despite this happening to us? You see, when someone does this to us, the natural reaction that we all have is usually one of two things. We'll usually respond to a verbal attack or someone mistreating us, or we'll usually respond in one of two ways. For some people, like with the little girl with the cat, it's revenge. Somebody hurts me, I'm going to hurt them back. They're going to get what's coming to them, we like to say. A lot of storylines in movies, if you think about it, are revenge-based, and we're drawn to that. It's because we have this natural bend within us, this battle with the flesh, that we need to get even. The second way people tend to respond when they are hurt is they quit. And over the years, I've watched so many people give up because of the actions of another person. For instance, I have watched people quit their church, quit ministries that they had maybe even started. They quit serving because of something someone else said or did to them. I have even watched people completely turn their back on God because of what another Christian said or done to them. I was just talking to an individual this week, and they were telling me about a guy that just about walked away from the faith because another Christian had hurt him so badly. Not just walk away from the church, walk away from God entirely. Just quit the whole thing. So what does the Word of God say about this? I believe that God has given me a great truth to share with you on this topic that will help you push through, press on when someone treats you unfairly. Originally, I was going to answer all three of these questions in one message, but this message was way too long, and the one we're talking about next week, there's so much to it that I wanted to make sure that I got through everything. So we're going to divide it up over the next 2 weeks. It's just too much information. That being said, if you have your Bible or Bible app, go ahead and go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38. All of the notes today can be found in the YouVersion Bible app if you are utilizing that. But before we read this, I want to set the scene as to what is happening before Jesus speaks these words that we're getting ready to read. Here in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is teaching people on a hillside that slopes up from the northern side of the Sea of Galilee. He's explaining to them, to the people he's talking to, some great truths about the kingdom of God. Jesus was a king who came to establish his kingdom, but his kingdom was different than the kingdom that everybody was expecting. So he needed to explain and correct their misunderstandings about the kingdom of God. For instance, they had heard the command, "You shall not murder," but they thought it only applied to the act and not the intention of the heart. They had heard the command, "They shall not commit adultery," but again, they thought it was pertaining to the act and not the intention of the heart. So what Jesus is trying to do is he's trying to correct their misunderstanding of the law of God and bring the truth of God's word to their heart. That's where we are when Jesus begins to speak these words in verse 38. So here is what he says, Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. Today we're going to discuss verses 38, 39, and 40. Next week we're going to discuss verses 41 and 42, but we're going to read them all here, all five verses. So this is what he says. He said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil." That is important. We're going to break that down here in a moment. "But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." I'm calling this message unfair. Father, for the next few moments, I ask that you would give me the mind of Christ as we dig into this very difficult subject. This is something that we all deal with. And so, God, it is my prayer today, Holy Spirit, that you would begin to move. I don't know where each and every person that's listening is sitting with this. I don't know the deep wounds that they have, but God, you do. And so, Father, it is my prayer that you would begin to bring healing to that today in Jesus' name. And I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you for your anointing. Amen. Jesus starts off here in verse 38 with some very challenging words. He begins off by quoting a passage from the Old Testament. He quotes from Exodus chapter 21, verse 23, which says this, "But if there is further injury, the punishment must match the injury. A life for a life, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, a foot for a foot, a burn for a burn, a wound for a wound, a bruise for a bruise." And Jesus comes to this crowd and he says, now you have heard this taught, because this was taught in the synagogues of that day. This was a part of the Old Testament. But the way they were teaching it was incorrect. The religious leaders were taking this scripture, as well as many other scriptures, but this is one in particular, and they were twisting it to fit their narrative, just like people still do this today. It's nothing new. When this command was given by God in the Old Testament, this command was not given to the people in general. God was not saying, this is how you need to treat your neighbor. If they bruise you, bruise them back. Get revenge. That's not what God was saying. If you read this in context, you will see that this instruction was given to the judges of Israel on how they should administer civil justice when judging a case and determining the punishment for the crime. Kind of like our court systems today, where the judge determines the punishment for the crime. If you do something, I am not the one that determines your punishment. You will stand before a judge. So the religious leaders had twisted this to basically say, this is how you treat your neighbor. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. They do something to you, you repay them. Revenge. Jesus comes along and completely upsets the cart. He brings clarity to the law that was given in Exodus chapter 1. He said, you have heard it taught like this, but now let me tell you how this applies to you. He first says in verse 39, But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. Now, what does that mean? The word resist here is from a Greek word that means be hostile toward. So Jesus starts off by saying, do not be hostile toward someone who is evil. He then gives us three different examples and teaches us how to respond when someone treats us unfairly. The first one, he's teaching us what we should do when someone slanders us. The second one, what to do when someone mistreats us. The third one, what to do when someone uses us. So let's talk about it. The first one, verse 39 again. Anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now you say, what does that have to do with slander? That sounds like a physical attack. To fully understand what Jesus is trying to say here, we have to go back and dig in and understand the culture. In this culture, to insult someone, you would slap them across the back, across their face with the back of your hand. You remember those old movies and cartoons? The distinguished Englishman would take off his glove and kind of swat across the face. That's kind of the image here, the idea here. This was not to injure someone. It was done as an insult to them. This is why Jesus specifically says slap, and he does not say punch. He also says slap on the right cheek specifically, because most people are right-handed, and to slap on the right cheek and the back of your hand, you use your right hand. This is how you insulted someone at this point in history in this culture. Obviously, we don't insult people like this today. We insult people today using our words and our posts on social media. That's typically where we go to insult people. But back in this day, it was the back of a hand slap. And so Jesus is saying, when this happens, when you are insulted by another person, don't respond in a hostile way. And that's the first thing that comes up into us. He says, don't fight fire with fire. And Jesus not only taught this, he modeled it for us. There are several places in the Gospels where we see him being mocked and insulted. He is called a glutton, a drunk, a blasphemer, a madman, and on and on and on. And he could have retaliated at any time. He knew, think about this, he knew everything about every person that insulted him. He knew their deepest, darkest secrets. He could have let it out, and he could have gotten revenge, and he could have annihilated them. He knew what was hidden in the closet, so to speak. But instead, we watch him time and time again bear the insults. Put yourself in his shoes. I mean, think about it. Someone is slandering you to the world, and you have a lot of dirt on the person that is slandering you. They have hurt you deeply, and you have information on them that could destroy them, allowing you to get even, or they get what they deserve, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. How many of us would take that road? How many of us would do that? I would dare to say that probably most of us would take that road, but not Jesus. And this is why this teaching is so hard, because to not retaliate and get revenge is hard when we have been hurt so deeply. Think about the cross. Jesus endured such mocking, such insult upon his person and his character. I can barely believe he withstood it. Sometimes when I think about what Jesus suffered on the cross, not only the physical pain and agony, but what he must have suffered emotionally and mentally. To these religious leaders, they hated him, and they came up to him and they spit in his face. And then when he was on the cross, those same religious leaders mocked him and laughed at him. He could have called down fire from heaven and consumed them all, but he did not. He patiently bore the mocking and the insults. So this is what Jesus is telling us to do when someone slanders us. Now, I do need to spend a little time digging into this a little bit further, because there are a lot of misunderstandings on this passage. There are some people that think and they teach that since Jesus is talking about a physical act here, a slap on the cheek, that it is wrong for us, because he tells us to turn the cheek, it is wrong for us to physically defend ourselves. Basically, what they teach is, if someone is abusing you physically, you just have to turn the cheek and you have to stand there and you have to take it. So let's talk about that. Remember, as I said before, I hope it was clear. When Jesus said a slap on your right cheek, it was culturally understood, the entire crowd would have understood this. He's talking about a deep insult. He's not talking about a physical attack. Jesus did not mean here that if someone is trying to physically injure you and they hit you upside the head with a stick of wood, that you should stand there and let them turn the cheek and let them hit you on the other side of the head so one black eye matches the other. Or worse yet, just stand there and take it while they kill you. He's not saying you should let someone physically abuse you. He's referring to an insult. Now, when it comes to physical assault, you not only have the right, but the responsibility to defend yourself or your loved ones. For instance, some of you may have never realized this, but even the disciples of Jesus carried swords. Now, why would they do that? In Luke chapter 22 and verse 36, Jesus even tells his disciples, if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and go buy one. You see, Jesus knew his disciples were about to be threatened, and he upheld their right to self-defense should they choose or not choose to do that. When Jesus is arrested, we even see Peter take out a sword and cut someone's ear off. So Peter carried a sword. However, Jesus rebukes him for that act. Why? It wasn't in self-defense. Jesus had told his disciples multiple times he's going to be arrested, he's going to be put on trial. Just like we have today, back in that day, there were robbers, criminals, dangerous people that they would come into contact with, and so they would carry swords as a means of self-defense with the hope and the prayer that they would never, ever have to use it. When I learned martial arts, the first thing I was taught by my instructor was, you are learning this as a means of self-defense only. You are never, ever, as a matter of fact, if he found out I ever used it as an offensive weapon, I would be kicked out of the school. That was just the rule. It's a very, very hard rule. You're never to use this as an offensive weapon. It's only to be used as defense, and the best case scenario is you will never, ever have to use it in a real life situation, only in a last resort. In the book of Nehemiah, when they're rebuilding the wall, we read in chapter 4 that the half of the men did not work, or half of the men worked while the other half carried the spears, the shields, the bows, and the armor. It even says the laborers who carried the loads worked with one hand and they held a weapon in the other hand. Now, why do you suppose that was? Don't you get more work done if you're using both hands? They're not carrying a weapon in one hand as a means to attack somebody. They have a weapon in one hand to defend themselves should anybody choose to attack them. So Jesus is not telling us here that it's wrong to defend ourselves physically. You have the right to do that or not to do that. And I know people that there are times when they are attacked physically, they have such a leading of the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to respond. And you read the stories of those that have been martyred and things like that because the Holy Spirit, the will of God, there was something more that God was wanting to accomplish there. And so there's a line there. It's totally up to you. Jesus is talking about insults. He's not talking about a physical harm that's coming your way. If you are insulted, turn the cheek. Don't retaliate against the insult. Remember, Jesus starts us off by saying, do not resist someone who is evil. Resist means to be hostile toward. Do not be hostile towards someone that is evil. There is a great difference in physical self-defense and being hostile towards another person. One is defensive, one is offensive. Defensive, you're not trying to hurt the other person. You're just trying to neutralize it to get away safely. Now, after you neutralize it, if you continue, then you become offensive, and that's where the line is. offensive, you're trying to hurt the other person. Do you see the difference? Hopefully that's clear. But he's talking about an insult. And so you see, when it comes to being insulted or slandered by another person, the love of Christ is shown when we can turn the cheek. It is shown when we can respond to someone's insult with kindness. The world's way is to get revenge. If someone says something to you to insult you, you fire back. The world's way is to get even. Jesus said, no, I need you to respond to those that insult you with love. The world will know that you are my disciples by your love for one another. So then Jesus goes on to teach us what we should do when someone mistreats us. Verse 40. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Jesus here is referring to a law that's found in Exodus chapter 22 and Deuteronomy chapter 24. The law stated that when someone would sue you and they would win the lawsuit, you're permitted to take their shirt, but not their sweater, not their outer garment. You see, in those days, people would usually have an undergarment that went next to their skin. Then they would have an inner garment, which would be like a shirt or something similar. And then they would have an outer garment, like a sweater or a coat or something like that. And most people back in this day, they only had one change of clothes. So in a lawsuit, the only thing you had to give the person you owed money to and you lost the lawsuit was your shirt. The law of Moses said that they could take your shirt. They could not take your sweater or your coat, your outer garment. Why? Because you needed that to keep warm. Along comes Jesus. He looks at this crowd and he says, hey guys, oh, and another thing. If you lose a lawsuit and you have to give up your shirt, I want you to give up your coat as well. And it makes you say, wait a minute, what? Seriously? Listen, when somebody wrongs us, in this case it's a lawsuit, they're suing us, the last thing that we ever want to do is bless them. The last thing that we want to do when we're in this type of situation is to give them more than we have to. For instance, let me give you an example. Imagine for a moment, I'm going to use this as my example because this is very common. Imagine for a moment a man and a woman that are married. The woman does something to the man to hurt him very deeply. They get divorced. They go to court to divide the assets. Very typical. The day comes for the wife to collect her things. When the woman arrives to get her things, she remembers something that the couple owned that is very important to her and rather expensive. It's not in the court documents. She has no rights to it. But she asks her ex-husband if she can have it. Now, in 99.9% of these cases, what do you suppose the man is going to say? He's going to say, over my dead body. But Jesus comes along and he says, let her have it. Now, why do you suppose he asks us to do that? That's a tough pill to swallow. Years ago, when we were in Colorado, there was a couple kids that we picked up. I think I've told this story before. Years ago, we had a tremendous amount of trouble with these kids. Brother and sister, I tried everything. I tried everything. Everything I knew to try to reconcile with these kids. I even had the mother come into my office and sit down and have a conversation. Can we come up with some kind of a plan? She was a single mother. She worked late. It was a very tough situation for her as well. Her kids were just out of control, complete disrespect. They were very aggressive. They were downright mean. I remember one night in particular, the younger girl, she wasn't so little, probably early 11, 12 at this time or whatever it was, she said some very mean things to my wife, very mean things to other leaders. When we went to get the kids on the bus that night, the older brother, he was probably 14 or 15 at this time, I was trying to get him on the bus. He got right up in my face. He called me names that I'd never been called in my life, stuff I'd never even heard of before. And he was just, I thought he was gonna hit me. I mean, it was just right there where you don't tell me what to do, you don't tell me the type of thing, on and on and on and on. Basically, it really bothered me. I felt so disrespected. I had been through stuff with many kids, but for some reason, this particular one really bothered me. So after talking to the leaders that night, the decision was made that we were going to permanently suspend them, which I hate to do, but sometimes you have to do it. And again, it's eating me alive. And I think it may be because it was just so personal, the things he was saying, but I was just mad. How dare they treat us like that? We're trying to help them, and they disrespect me like that. They disrespect our other leaders like that, and it festered, and it festered, and it festered. And that happened on a Wednesday night, and along comes Sunday morning, and I'm still angry about this. And I remember sitting in worship service that Sunday morning, and the worship team's playing, and I am just angry, man. I am just fuming mad at this. I just want to take that kid and tie him to the back of the bus and take him running down the highway. I mean, I was so mad. It was eating me alive. And so I just started talking to God. These kids have disrespected me. All I'm trying to do is love them. I'm trying to help them, and they treat me like this. God, I don't know how to get rid of this. I know this anger is not good, but I don't know how to get rid of this. And in that moment, I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. Matt, how many times have you disrespected me, but I still love you? I don't want to hear that. So I said, well, then God, what do you want me to do? Because I'm struggling. I can't let this go. I don't know how to let this go. I felt like God spoke to me again and said, right after service, I want you to go to the Christian bookstore in the mall. I want you to buy 2 brand new Bibles, and I want you to have their names engraved on it, and I want you to take it over to their house and drop it off to them today and tell them you love them. And in a moment, I just begin to weep. And the bitterness and the anger, it just seemed to melt off of me at this point. And so after service that day, I loaded the kids in the car. We went down to the bookstore. We purchased 2 Bibles, and we headed over to drop them off. They lived in a pretty rough area town, apartment complex that was known for heavy drug use and heavy gang activity. My kids were used to seeing that. I took the kids with me because I wanted them to see. This was a teaching moment, and I wanted them to see how to respond when someone disrespects you like that. I wanted them to see it for themselves. I'm just not talking about it. I wanted them to see it. So I knocked on the door. The mom answered. And when the little girl seen me, her eyes got as big as donuts. She thought, he is here to tell me. He's tell on me. I'm going to get whipped. He's here to tattle. Da-da-da-da-da. And so her eyes got as big as donuts. I walked in. The young man wasn't there. And I proceeded to tell the mom. I said, you know, we had some major problems with your children on Wednesday night. So unfortunately, we've made the decision that they can't return. They can't come back. But I want you to know that we do love your kids. And so I got them a gift. And I took the gift. A little girl came over and she opened up the Bible, and you should have seen her eyes. Mom, it's a Bible. And it even has my name on the cover. And she come up to me and she gave me the biggest hug that I think any kid's ever given me. And she said, thank you so much, Pastor Matt. I left and I went home. Well, after that, we ended up moving to Phoenix. I never thought I would see him again. But one night, we're running our bus routes in Phoenix, and one of the leaders gets off the bus and says, Pastor Matt, there is a girl on the bus that says she knows you from Colorado. And off the bus walked that same girl, now a teenager. And my jaw hit the floor. I was like, really, God? You are going to send the kids that I had the most problems with to Phoenix, and of all the area that you could have sent them in a city of 4.5 million people, you put them on my bus route. I got to deal with them here now. No story, no joke, Colorado to Phoenix, I couldn't believe it. But instead of the disrespect I received in Colorado, she ran up to me, she gave me the biggest hug. She said, I can't believe it. I didn't think I would ever see you again. We still had some issues with her from time to time, but She would listen to me when I corrected her. She wouldn't do that before. Complete opposite of where she was years before. I had gained her respect. My choice to love her despite the way she treated me opened the door for me to speak the love of God into her life. You see, the love of Christ is shown to somebody when you give away the cloak. It is shown when you go above and beyond to bless somebody that has hurt you. It's when you go above and beyond to serve somebody that has betrayed you. And that's what Jesus is saying. If anybody understood what it meant to be mistreated by others, it was the Apostle Paul. Here's what he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24. And I'm going to close with this. He says, 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, on the seas, and I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. He endured it all. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. He says that he was beaten 5 different times with 39 lashes. 3 times he was beaten with rods. Do you know why somebody beats another person with rods? It's to bruise the bone. If you've ever had a bone bruise, you know how excruciating painful that is. I remember years ago training in martial arts. One time I was sparring with this other guy. We were having fun. We got a little bit more physical than we should have. And I did a kick with my right leg to his midsection, and he went to block it. And he didn't drop his hand fast enough. And instead he dropped his elbow. I wasn't wearing shin guards. And he dropped his elbow very forcefully right into the top of my leg, and it sent this pain down throughout my whole body that I'd never felt before, and it literally dropped me to the ground right there. It hurt so bad. And I remember struggling with that for days, and it was just, even to walk, it hurt so bad. And I remember this large pocket of fluid gathered on my leg, and I ended up going to the hospital, and they stuck a needle in it, and they drew this fluid out. I know that gives you a great, great image. I couldn't look because I pass out when I'm in needles, so I had to look the other way. But I was told that I had bruised the bone. I'd never felt anything like that before. He said another time, he had people throwing stones at him to kill him. If anybody would have wanted revenge, anybody would have wanted to get even, anybody would have been justified in doing so, it would have been Paul. But despite all of that, listen to what he writes in Romans chapter 12. Verse 14, he writes, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. It's hard to hate somebody you're praying for. Verse 17, he goes on. He says, never pay back evil with more evil. Verse 19, dear friends, never take revenge. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's how we should respond. I know it's hard. It's easy to preach it. It's hard to live it. But that is the godly way to respond when someone slanders us, when someone mistreats us. I encourage you, if this is happening to you right now, let go of the bait that Satan has set. He has set a trap for you. He wants you to take the bait. He wants you to get even. He wants you to retaliate. But that's not the way of God. And if you choose not to take the bait, you allow God to heal you and set you free. Sam, if I could have you go ahead and come on up at this time. And if you could bow your heads and close your eyes. God, we just want to thank you for your word today. I know, Lord, that this is a difficult subject. This is, even in my own life, it's easy for me to get up here and say, yeah, this is what we should do. But when I'm face to face with this, and someone's tearing me down with their words, or somebody's spreading lies, or whatever it might be, it's hard to take the high road. So Holy Spirit, my prayer is this today, that as we leave this place and we're faced with situations, because I believe there's going to be some people that are, I know there's people facing them now, but there's going to be people that are going to leave here tonight and they're going to be faced with this even today yet. That this truth from your word would come back to the forefront of our mind, and that we would remember the love of Christ is shown when I don't retaliate to the insult. The love of Christ is shown when I give more than is expected of me to someone that has hurt me. God, we thank you for your word, because it has the power to set us free. In Jesus' name. I want you to keep your head bowed and your eyes closed.